This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 19, Variant, is over. But we're just getting started here on post-show recaps. Yes, we're turning the doorknobs, we're climbing the walls, and we're coming in hot to talk about everything that happened in this latest episode of Season 11 C. It's me, Jessica Lees, and I'm here with two-thirds of the panel. First of all, we missed him last week, but he left us his prized bolo tie to remember him by. Chappelle, how are you?
Jess, I'm good. This show is starting to feel like a lot like my stepdad, and if I continue to watch, I'll be my mom. So if that tells you anything, that's how I'm feeling today.
Now that took a dark turn.
I mean, that's what Princess said, and for some reason, it just stood out to me.
It definitely was a standout moment for sure. And also with us this evening, we have a guy who, if he died holding the door against the zombies, I would certainly riot. AJ Mass.
I climbed up here on the roof to get a better view of the night sky, and I've got absolutely nothing to worry about. I'm not even going to turn around the entire time I'm talking to you guys. I'm totally secure. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I think it'll stay that way. We know how zombies work in this universe, and how could anything change at this late date, 11 years into a series that we've been watching forever?
A lot of those characters certainly didn't change. But a lot of them were fun to watch and catch up on. And I, for one, am happy to talk about it.
Yeah, I will say, I am glad that we have witnessed a marked shift in quality between the last two episodes and this episode. This one felt like it was written by people that understand the universe, even though they're throwing in like wild ass fan fiction zombies at us. They are still steeped in the canon. I don't, maybe that was the difference. They spoke about the history in a way that felt organic and made the characters seem more true to themselves.
Yeah, but I'm not okay with the zombie thing. That's going to drive me crazy, y'all. I mean, listen, I know you're listening to this. Like, oh, why are you coming to the podcast? You just want to complain. Come on, y'all. It's been 11 years. We've been doing this forever. We've been doing this forever. Why now? Why now do you just add this whole other layer of zombie lore that we now have to address every episode until the finale? And then now we have to question, is it going to be, you know, a thing in the next iteration, in the movie, in the other spinoff, in the sitcom, and all the other stuff that's Walking Dead? Why did you do this? Like, you could have just not did this. What would have made that scene any different if you just did it? Do it. You know, just you just could have not. And it would have been fine. They still could have survived and moved on. Now we're doing this moving forward. We have, and we have to do this moving forward. That's the problem, I guess. It's like, we can never dial this back. There will always be the question is, can the zombies walk? Can they run? Can they climb? Can they jump? Can they grab rocks and bash you over the head with it? What are we doing now in the final season of the show, changing the way zombies work? I just don't understand.
Well, to be completely fair, and honestly, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to walk it back and complain about it. But it's not the first time we've seen zombies using tools and doorknobs, mm-hmm. because the very first like Darabont season of The Walking Dead, we had zombies that could do that. We had like Morgan's wife turning the door handle in the very first episode. We had a zombie pick up a rock and try to break a window with it. And they took great pains this episode to mention, you know, we have different types of zombies. We have the lurkers and the roamers. So this is just a different sub-variant of that. And the phrase sub-variant has been ruined for everyone forever, but they're doing their level best to shoehorn this into what we've already seen. And honestly, to me, this just felt like they remembered they did this in season one, and they probably shouldn't have, considering how the zombie acted all after that. And so they just tried to retcon this in the most clunky way possible at the 11th hour.
I agree. It's a bit of a retcon. Having said that, though, I do kind of like the idea that this could have been going on for all the, you know, with all the time jumps and everything. Like, we've gone years and years where we've kind of ignored the zombies. And the characters themselves will admit, like, yeah, well, we got to the point where we were all fighting amongst ourselves. We fought a war, and then we fought this other war, and then this other war. And, like, we kind of stopped caring about the zombies paying attention. So maybe while we were not paying attention, they started to get a little different. So I'm okay with that. I don't like the fact that it was spoken of as, like, I've heard tales of lo these many years. Like, it didn't have to be a campfire.
Why haven't we heard
story,
tales?
Aaron.
Yeah, but why haven't we heard the tales of The Walking Dead?
Well, you know, exactly. Like...
Well, we did hear the tales of The Walking Dead. This was one place, this was actually, in fact, one place where we laid the groundwork for this. Because we had, you know, Dr. Anthony Edwards studying the zombies and, like, coming up with these crackpot theories about how they help each other. And maybe that was all just sort of setting the stage for, oh yeah, by the way, these ones can climb ladders and operate can openers and whatever.
Oh, and I did like the fact that one of the things that he mentioned, you know, we heard tell of, you know, some that would go back to places that remembered when they were alive, which kind of justifies all of Alicia wandering after the her special zombie looking for Fondre. So I'm like, okay, you kind of put a little twist into her being upright. So okay, wink and a nod, I will allow it. And it did add for the. It did allow for the cool moment when he rips off the whisperer's face, only to find that it wasn't a whisperer after all. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, good old reverse Scooby-Doo.
Dead Man Jenkins! Ah!
You don't think they could have done this earlier? You know, we got, what, a handful of episodes left, if that. How many episodes are in this season?
I mean, we think we have 5 left.
Yeah, like, you could have did this at the beginning of the season. You could have did this last season. You could have did this during Tales of the Walking Dead. You could have did this in... We've had 3 iterations of The Walking Dead, and not like, we haven't seen this for so long. Like, why are you doing this right now? What is the reason? Just because you can? I just feel like just because you can do a thing doesn't mean you have to do a thing. I guess that's all I'm saying.
It's true. It didn't feel like we need this to happen. It was made for a fun set piece. And boy, those first few shots when they get to that place, they're just beautiful. Like just a really lovely scene from a cinematography perspective. Yeah. Like they found a great location, they used it well. And then everybody's sitting around like, oh, this is weird. Like, why doesn't anybody live here? This place is awesome. And then they find out why.
Yeah.
Because these zombies can run a community.
It kind of did. I mean, like I said, I'm not someone who read the comic book all the way through, but that did kind of like visually remind me of the first few episodes of the comic book that I did read when they found that, you know, little community and they all stayed there and like, oh, we can live here. And all of a sudden zombies came. So I did kind of like that kind of wink and a nod to like early comic books as well.
Yeah, it's for sure something that they hit upon a lot, especially in the early comics, where it would be like, this is a great place, we're going to be okay here, and then the zombies would ruin it and they'd have to go find another place. It happened several times, and among those times they did spend a little time like creating rules for zombies that they haven't really gone into on the show. Like the thing with the lurkers and the roamers is straight out of the comics. They had some zombies in the prison way back. Remember the prison? There was a prison.
Oh, sure.
There were zombies that lived in the prison that were, they had been so long without a human meal, apparently, that they just sort of started to disintegrate and they would lose energy over time. And so they'd get reinvigorated if somebody came by that was like warm and tasty, but for the most part, they just kind of sat there and lurked. And to bring that up at this late date, it seems like you could have been talking about lurkers and roamers the whole time, and you really didn't.
Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're doing it now, I have to assume that this is going to be something that plays a part later on. Every now and then we'll come across the lurkers. And, you know, it happens. And then we're like, oh, yeah, that's a thing you've established. But, like, if you're going to establish all these things, these variants, if you will, I would like to see them mean more to the plot. You know, just not like it can be any third random, you know, walker that can just run up on you out of nowhere. It's like, okay, that's cool. You kind of always got to be looking over your shoulder. But we kind of established that when we say this is a zombie apocalypse. So if we're going to have the Maggie Negan show and all these other spinoffs. Yeah, show me these... He's like, oh, World War Z zombies chasing after you and climbing walls and jumping over stuff and grabbing things and throwing it at you. Yeah, I'll take it. Just, you know, just make it mean something. I just felt like it was just there for no reason. And I really want it to be like, I want the final season to like have a point. And right now it just feels like the beginning of like a new beginning, like the end of this first iteration and like more of the next. But The Walking Dead started off as a show, you know, not a franchise. So I would like to see the beginning and end of this franchise.
Yeah, and Chappelle, it does go right back to your central complaint about this season so far, which is that it saps all of the energy out of any stakes you might possibly have had because they're just setting up new things for the new series. And it's like, this is ending. You guys know this is ending, right?
Yeah, even the little Milton, when he dies, it takes him a long time to reanimate. And I was thinking, oh, does this mean something? And then I thought, no, it doesn't. This is about to end. What does that mean? You know, what are they going to do? You know, and I was like, that's true. It really could mean nothing. And I have to kind of force myself to reckon with that every time I watch the show, is that like these new developments that you keep making happen right now don't mean anything unless this is just the first chapter of many to come, when this should really be the last chapter of a very long book that we've already been in.
Yeah, it's really, and they had several moments where I thought there was going to be some kind of closure, some kind of cataclysmic event, and then they walked it back. Like, I think I was waiting for somebody out of that Aaron, Jerry, Lydia's boyfriend party to bite it, and nobody did.
Right, but at least there were stakes there where any of them could have. So, you know, if that had been, you know, Daryl and Carol and Maggie, you know, and Negan standing there, everyone like, you know, well, yeah, great, they'll get out of this. So at least there were stakes there, especially because those are people that, you know, if it was Jerry, we would have all been like, no! So at least there was that stake there. And I did feel a sense of, oh no, are they actually going to kill Jerry here? Because they could have. They absolutely could have.
I would have been so angry if they had killed Jerry here, and not just because they're killing Jerry, but because they're giving Jerry Hodor's death from Game of Thrones.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's a direct ripoff. And it's like Jerry needs to go out in some way that's slightly more spectacular than this if he's not going to be King Jerry of his own kingdom.
At no point in this series have I ever rooted for the death of Jerry Harder. I wanted him dead this time because it would have been unexpected. It would have been the one thing that we did our draft. Nobody picked Jerry. We were like, Jerry's fine. You know, like, we love Jerry. They wouldn't take Jerry from us. I'm like, this is the moment. This is the moment you can shock me. This is the moment you can do something that I actually will feel. And like, and now, like, next episode, you'll kill, you know, Lydia's boyfriend. And I'm like, oh no. You know, like, take Jerry. You know, like, I'm just saying, just bring me back to that old feeling that I used to have watching this show, and I don't have it anymore.
Take a character whose name we can remember immediately. Elijah is Lydia's boyfriend.
Hey, Elijah, thank you. I kept wanting to say Isaiah, and I knew that wasn't right.
I kept trying to say Emmett, and I'm like, no, that's not right. Something with an E.
I had nothing.
It was biblical. I remembered it was biblical.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that's. I kind of was on the same track. I was like, is the name Ezekiel? I was like, we already have one of those.
It's never stopped him before. Like, that was the problem in the comics. Like, Kirkman was very committed to this idea that there are people out in the world that have the same first name. And so you'd keep running into people that had the same name over and over. And it was very confusing.
You want to talk about a Game of Thrones reference?
Yeah, everybody is named Aegon now.
Everybody.
Literally right. Everybody.
So, yes, indeed. It is not Ezekiel second of his name.
No, it is, not, it is not that. So I guess we've got to go back to the Commonwealth to talk about a few of these things that are happening. Fugitive Eugene, or, you know,
Fugene,
as Josh Wiggler would christen him, for some reason has managed to evade capture for almost an entire day at this point.
And this was the part that I couldn't excuse most of all. Like, look, I want to go on record and say I really liked this episode. I thought this was fun to watch. I thought everything with Princess was stellar. Love her so much.
Mm-hmm.
I was willing to forgive the fact that when you round everybody up from our group, that should also include Yumiko, Connie, Kelly, Carol, and Gabriel, none of whom we saw on the episode. Mm-hmm. So that was a little weird. But I was willing to forgive that. I was not really readily willing to forgive the fact that if you are harboring a fugitive, that you don't send someone to Gabriel's church to check it out.
Or at least follow the person you were just interrogating. Rosita.
Yes, especially because you just, you know, this. If there is a theme, I think it's, do we go back to, do we give up the dream of going back to what was before, or do we finally just say we have to create something new? I think for me, that's what this last stretch is about, and the Commonwealth represents going back to what we knew before and how maybe we don't want that anymore. But a church in that environment is a sanctuary. It's a place where you would harbor a fugitive, and therefore you have to have checked there.
Yeah, well, we already established when we watched them try to fight a horde of zombies that the cops here are not a total brain trust.
Fair, especially because he was able to get all the way in. When he does turn himself in, he's able to John Doe from Seven walk right through the doors, and they still take about 15 minutes to go. Oh, yeah, let's get him.
Yeah, now we're going to brutalize him, but, oh, right, we're supposed to be yelling at you to put your hands on your head.
They have to remember that Eugene is the least dangerous fugitive who ever lived. You know, like, he walks in, they're like, it's Eugene. Oh, yeah, Eugene, hands up, you know, get down on the ground. He's like, yeah, I mean, he killed the guy, but he didn't really kill the guy. So I don't think they didn't feel any threat level from him.
They're just looking for a scapegoat at this point because it was really society. But
all along.
Yeah, it's capitalism, but nobody ever wants to take capitalism to account for this. So we're going to blame you.
Yeah, look, like, other than those things, I mean, I really enjoyed, you know, Eugene standing up to Daryl, which actually Daryl's quietness finally working for a scene. He just stared at him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
step aside, mm-hmm. Hoss. I said, not Hoss.
You gonna let me go?
You ain't leaving.
Like, you're right.
And it was perfect because that was the thing I really liked the best about this episode is that the writers of this episode knew the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that these Judith voiceovers at the beginning are sloppy writing at best, but I did like that we were acknowledging what had happened before. Like, we talked about the setup of Eugene, the character, and how he got where he was. And that enabled us to feel like, you know, this is Eugene acting the way Eugene would act. And this is Daryl also acting the way Daryl would act. And it's, there's just like not nearly enough of this in Latter Day Walking Dead of characters acting the way that we have established they would act in any given scene. And when it does happen, it shouldn't be this shocking.
Yeah. And I think we don't get a lot of our main characters in the same scenes anymore. You know, we did that whole season where basically they were all in bubble episodes, you know, like it bottle over here in a boxcar, you know. And so we didn't have a lot of Daryl and Eugene, quite frankly. And then when we got here, Eugene is with, you know, Max Packin. And then you got Daryl, who is with Rosita and the police. And they never interact. You know, they never bring them all back together. And so this felt like, yeah, this works because these two people are like characters we know have chemistry together on screen, whether it's, you know, this grunting that Daryl's doing and Eugene stammering about, you know, some random Southern, you know, analogy he's making up. But it worked because we finally got them back together. It's like we got the gang back together a little bit with those two, and we've missed it so many other times. Like, when was the last time we saw Carol and Eugene together? You know, like, it's just been so much of them all segmented all over the place that, like, this was more like, it felt like classic Walking Dead with the two of them in a way. And so maybe that's why it worked.
Yeah. Well, this was the thing. I have gone to this well before, and I know I've talked about this before, but one of the most brilliant character studies of an entire cast that I can think of is Parks and Recreation, which their episodes almost always hinged on. We're going to take two of our characters and we're going to put them together. What is a thing that would happen that would put them together? What is the common ground they would find? What would they talk about? Where would they clash? What would their interaction be like? And they just did this over and over with different iterations of characters every time. And it was always something different and great you found out about these characters over the course of however many seasons. And I think there are times when Walking Dead goes to that well, and they're very effective when they do it. But other times they're just using the characters as like action figures to serve this greater plot that they're trying to accomplish. And when that happens, it's just like they let the character do what they want to happen for the plot and not necessarily what the character is supposed to do based on everything we know about them. And granted, it's they have an easier job writing a sitcom because everybody can be exactly the same at the end of the episode, where Walking Dead is presumably, or, you know, purportedly supposed to have forward motion, and the characters are supposed to evolve and change, and there's supposed to be arcs and shit, but there's not always arcs and shit.
Yeah, part of that is I think you have so many characters still left on this show, far too many, as we've mentioned many times, and you know, it's not the same writers who are sticking with the show year after year after year. You got new writers coming in. They have to learn how to write for these characters too. And so it's really hard sometimes to remember the voice, especially if you are then hampered, which I'm sure they were, where it's like, well, we can only have three people in this scene because of COVID. So, you know, you lose a whole year, 2 years of character development doing those things because you can't, you're not allowed to. And now you're finally like, hey, we can get everybody in the scene together. Who are these characters again? I think maybe they went back and just like Judith's little prologues each episode said, should we watch a couple of episodes from like the earlier seasons to remember who these characters used to be? And I think that's working because it's forcing them to say, remember, this is where Eugene was, this is where Eugene was, and this is where Eugene was, and this is where he is, and how would he react? And they're writing that way. You know, it's easier to do it with somebody like Princess or Mercer, you know, who are new characters who like they don't have history. So it's like, well, this is who they are. We've watched these people for years and years and years. we know how they would react. And there are times, like you said, everything they're doing with Ezekiel this season makes sense to me because he's now sees death's door. And so he's kind of has given up the fight. So I like that his character is now in this way. It's not like a kill switch that just goes on and off depending on which side needs to win this week to prolong it for an entire season.
Yeah, but it's inexcusable that they ever don't do that, though. Like, there is a Bible for this show that's got to be, like, multiple volumes. It's got to be the size of the freaking Encyclopedia Britannica at this point. Mm-hmm. And there's also, you know, 4 volumes of comics that are the size of the Manhattan Telephone Directory. And, you know, hours and hours, like 500 hours of television about this universe. I feel like if you have that much to fall back on, we shouldn't ever be questioning it. And yet over the course of this series, we've questioned it so many times. And yeah. I like that they're finally giving us episodes that feel like they take place in this universe and are not written by someone that doesn't even know where they keep the show Bible. But
yeah.
You know, it should be hitting this mark every week, and it's not. And that's, like, it didn't last week, I don't think. And it didn't the week before. And I feel like at this point in the series, every week should be this tight, and these characters should be this lived in, because I think it's less excusable for us to see Eugene acting out of character than it is to see, like, a princess acting out of character.
Right.
Because he's been around for 10 years. We know him. And if we know him, we are just, you know, 3 schmucks talking about him on the internet. We should not know him better than the writers.
Agreed. Sure. And on top of that, I think because these are the final episodes, I mean, let's just throw in the human factor. Some of these actors have been working together for a decade plus, and they all know that these might be the last scenes with these friends, and it does them a disservice not to give them some really cool one-on-one scenes with these people they've worked with to say goodbye, because you know the actors are going to bring that emotion to these scenes. And that's why even a scene with Aaron and Lydia I thought was awesome. I felt moved by it because, you know, this is the actors saying goodbye to each other in many ways, you know, saying we might not work together after this episode. So I really enjoyed that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. They did so much work with the Eugene story arc in one episode, really. You know, like, they did this in one episode because he's just been around, you know, kind of simping all season, which is not abnormal to Eugene that we know, right? That's the original Eugene from the Computer Love saga, you know. But now he's here and he's like, I used to be a coward. I'm still a coward, but I got to do this really brave thing and it's going to be hard for me. And that's so believable for Eugene. And it didn't take much to get us there. And that's why it's so easy to have these moments with Lydia and Aaron, or even, you know, Ezekiel, where it's like, yeah, this person is being true to themselves. And we're just closing the book. We're just having people say, you know, take a bow. This is your moment. We have 5 more episodes. How many other iterations of this saying goodbye can we do? But I think, you know, in some ways that's really cool. And in other ways, it's like some of them aren't saying goodbye, you know? yeah. And so, you know, so that's why it makes it weird. But I do like that they were able to do so much with Eugene in such a little time. Cause I always find myself not caring about Eugene. You know, it's without fail. Am I like, why is Eugene in the scene? What is he really bringing to the table? I'm sick of it. We're just doing this every episode. And now I'm like, okay, this is compelling. Eugene has identified his weakness. He, instead of just marching in the battle, like they could just easily have done, like Eugene's like, I'm so in love that I'm just going to go charging in there head first. He had to fight with that. He had to really come to terms with, this is not who I am, but I need to be better. And so I want to go do that. Let's have that from other people. Maybe let's have that from Negan instead of him sitting around having an ultrasound done. You know what? Why? Why is this a thing? Why?
Because we know that baby's not going to survive anyway.
We got to go see the baby's heartbeat so they can kill it. Dog, the baby's not going to live, and neither is this woman. You do not have to have this scene where they're like sitting by, like, at the OBGYN. Why are you here in a zombie apocalypse? I'm sorry. I'm just... The level of technology that they have in this show sometimes is just baffling to me. I couldn't get past it. But they have to do that kind of work that they did with Eugene, with Negan. They haven't done it yet, you know? And it's like, You can do it. It's right there. You did it so cool with us, with a person that we've known for years. We've known him longer than we've known Negan. You can do this with Negan. I promise you can. And I don't think they want to because you got more Negan coming.
Yeah, they're going to save it for the next show.
Sure.
Like, why should we give him any more character development when we've got an entirely, you know, an entire new season, new singular season of a show? Because we all know that's probably not going to last forever. We've got like 10 more episodes where we can play with Negan. So we don't need to play with him right now. We can put him back on the shelf. And that doesn't feel organic because he's supposed to be part of the story.
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Too much story to tie up in too little time because they lollygag through the second set of episodes. But I think, look, one in a row. That's the way I'm looking at it. One in a row of an episode I enjoyed. I liked pretty much from start to finish. So
we can set it to 0 days since an episode of The Walking Dead that made me angry.
Exactly. And let's hope that the next one is equally as not anger inducing.
I think it's picking up steam now. I think we're going somewhere now.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more. Find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Should we talk a little bit about the Lance and zombie Sebastian of it all?
Yeah, I guess so. Hornsby alive, dead, a tool to feed the son. What are we saying here for him? Is this what he's gonna, like, this is his role for the rest of his life, is just make sure that you feed my child flesh? Or is he gonna be on the way out? Because I'm pretty sure somebody drafted him to be dead at the end of the show.
Yeah, he's not dead yet for sure.
Yeah, which, I think she's going to honor the toss of the coin, which, hey, bring something back from just a couple episodes ago. Good job. but, you know, she tosses the coin. All right, I'll let you live. You say you want to serve my family. How about serve them dinner?
AJ, man.
She didn't even toss the coin. She did the, like, hand and which coin is the hand. I was like, that is so cheap. Flip the coin. What are you doing?
But I will say I liked it because You could see Hornsby figuring it out by the one she was squeezing harder has to be the one that she's lying about because she has a tell. And I like the fact that he knew her tell.
Okay, I give you that.
But that I like thinking, about it. Yeah.
You gotta flip the coin.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I did this exact same tactic with my six-year-old at dinner tonight. I stuck a cookie in one hand and he knew my tell.
That's like, it.
There's no way your fist could be clenched that much if you had a cookie in it. I call shenanigans, and then you open your hand and there's a cookie is crumbled, you know.
Crumbs of cookies everywhere. Chips Ahoy, it came pre-crumbled.
I mean, it's a very similar situation, and in both cases, your son got fed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my son got fed. But, you know, I feel like people that have this as something they do for a living and like they actually make money off of writing this story and pushing it forward, they should be doing a little bit better than, you know, me tricking my six-year-old.
fair, I'll give you that.
Yeah, so how's Lance gonna get himself out of this situation? Because we know he is. And
do we care though?
Like, no, we don't care, so, but I'm pretending
he's gonna
to
die,
care.
Right? Yeah, it's like because he gets out and then they kill him, right? So it's like there's no way he survives this.
Yeah, but this at least becomes this one last chance for him to get out, and then at least try and hoodwink someone to thinking, obviously you need to work with me because Bama is my enemy and we have a common enemy kind of thing. So at least he's got a chance to shenanigan his way into at least living to fight at least one more day before getting killed. So he can be used as a weapon to further the goals of our people. So at least I could see that happening.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he kills Milton. Pamela, that is.
I'm sure he does.
Right. Because nobody else has any motivation to kill her.
Yeah, really, there's no reason to. Except that, you know, apparently there's a faction that thinks she's kind of a bad leader, but we haven't been shown that. We've just been shown that, like, the one bad thing she does as a leader is she let Hornsby have a job, and she has a son who's a douchebag. Then basically, I don't know if I put a whole revolution on your son is a douchebag.
We hate that guy.
I mean, we'd have a lot of problems if that was all it took, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's very true. So, the son of a leader is doing things that is wrong, I mean, I can't imagine living in a society where that happens.
If people get pissed off about that, yeah, that never happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I just want to know, like, if we're keeping him alive, there has to be a reason, right? The show could have easily offed him. She could have just dropped the kid off in there. He could have torn him to shreds, and we could have went on with our life. So there, the Hornsby being alive means something, hopefully. And so, you know, the question is, what does it mean for him? What shenanigan is he going to pull? What last little move is he going to do before he goes out? Because he's not going to make it, but we have to use him this one more time. There's five episodes left. So this is the time to kind of plan what the Hornsby move is going to be. And I think it's got to be Pamela Milton, because I just don't understand, like, what else it could be. He, like, takes somebody hostage or something like that and then dies. You know, someone has to die at his hands. Otherwise, we're just wasting his time.
I mean, it's going to be, he's going to help our Scooby gang in exchange for, like, you know, they're going to make a Faustian bargain to let him take out Pamela or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you assume, I don't know that they're going to hold them in the same place, but if you assume that Eugene is now arrested, could share a cell wall with Hornsby, they can talk through the wall, and, you know, maybe they can conspire together in that regard. Maybe if they had a relationship, they've talked, they've had scenes together, so it certainly is possible.
Yeah
little jail.
Not the most exciting thing, but you know, at least I can see it being a way in. I mean, obviously Carol could go visit him because she's, you know, negotiated for him many times in the past.
She could just steal a rocket launcher, which she's also done in the past.
Very, very true. Oh, guard, I have baked some cookies for you. Would you like to sample my cookies? Not the cookies, no!
And then she's going to murder 15 people to break them out of jail.
Classic Carol.
Classic Carol.
What do y'all think is going to happen with this society once the power structure is completely torn apart, right? Because I'm predicting Pamela's out of here and Hornsby's gone too. So who's in charge? Is this Mercer's world now? Is it King Mercer? Is it, you know, who's going to run this whole civilization once we get rid of the corrupt people? I highly doubt they just leave them there in the hands of Pamela Milton, even if she survives.
You know, if you want a dystopia, to get even more dystopian, by all means, put the cop in charge. What could go wrong?
Yeah. He was the most copy of all time in this episode.
He was so copy. So copy.
He's very copy, but of course he gets the dressing down by the superstar that is Princess, so maybe he changes his ways. Or learns to change his ways. Maybe I can envision a Princess and Mercer-led group that leaves, you know, with much of the downtrodden people. Like, we're not going to stay here, but we're going to go together and create something for ourselves that we can check in on in 3 or 4 years when we need another spin.
Juanita goes from princess to queen. I see what you're saying. So it's monarchy at that point. Oh, got you. Okay, this is making sense. I like this.
I mean, one of the most functional societies we've seen to date was a kingdom with a king.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about bringing that back.
Yes, Kingdom 2.0, baby. Yeah.
King Jerry.
King Jerry and Queen Nebula. I'll take it.
Would you? Is Jerry built for this? Is he built for the politics of governing a society?
I think I see it more like Jerry finds a nice house in the country, and he is like one of those dads that's like, I am the king of my own castle, and he can be the king of his household. He doesn't have to necessarily make hard state decisions.
Yeah, like, oh, King Jerry, how are you? Hello, King Aaron, how are you? Living next door to me, you know?
You know, there are no rules. Everybody could be a king.
Exactly. That would be fine.
Oh, no.
As long as we don't settle on seven kingdoms, we're good.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, but by all means, or, you know, if you're not comfortable being a king, you could be an earl or a baron or a duke. Like, just pick whatever title you want.
Absolutely. High priestess. Yeah, go for it.
Emperor.
Emperor Mercer does have a good ring to it, but again, do you really want to get that to the cup?
He's got the outfit for it.
He really does. The Emperor's orange clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got stormtroopers, so.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very true. We could go down that route.
I really want to just believe that the cops in the Commonwealth like just found a warehouse of Star Wars costumes, and that's why they wear what they wear.
They could tell us. Like, I wouldn't mind if they said it. I would not be mad at that. You know, like, we've seen crazier things in The Walking Dead. I mean, I sat through a Walking Dead wrestling match for the second time in this series, in this universe, you know? So I'm like, if that could happen twice, you could definitely just make a nod to the fact that we know we're dressed like stormtroopers.
Do we have a little wink wink at the end when like all the police like run to grab their weapons and there's a box of lightsabers? Mm-hmm. Yeah, or they don't use because they're fake.
They try to shoot something and they miss completely.
Yeah, yeah. McClunky.
Wow, not even the first McClunky reference of the week. Not even kidding.
It's good times.
Yeah, it's good times. I feel like if we have this kind of pacing and this kind of characterization through the rest of the series, I'm going to feel a little bit better about leaving it where we're going to leave it.
Yeah, I think if we can focus on a couple characters, like really having some sort of emotional growth and you know, advance the plot a little bit, and then a little emotional growth, a little goodbye, kill off a couple of people next week or the week after, please, because I still need that. But I think I'll be very happy, I think, where they end up. If nothing happens and they just start chess piecing again next week, I'll be very, very upset, because this did not feel like a chess piece episode, even though, of course, we know that they're moving pieces around to set everything up. But it still felt like there was momentum. You know, the people who left went a little bit closer to Oceanside. I hope next week we find out what happens when they get there, that we don't save that for 2 weeks down the road. Like, that's where the show has gone in the past that has really frustrated us. It's like, yeah, you don't want to spend a lot of time, but at least one scene.
Yeah.
They're there. Oh, my gosh, everybody's dead. Or everything's fine. Hooray. Either way, I'm fine, but address it.
Yeah, like, all right, everybody's got to be dead, or you're all just going to sit down and, like, have lunch there on your way home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Touch base, move on. It's momentum. You don't show up 3 weeks later. Boy, it was great that we went to Oceanside last week, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Like, what? You did?
Yeah. You got a list of questions. We got to answer the questions. And that's
how. You got two people there still that are still alive. Like the bearded guy, isn't he technically still alive in there?
I mean, until proven dead.
Sure.
That's true.
But, you know, the Walking Dead wiki, you know, they color those people in blue when they don't know what happened to them.
Yeah.
Still live green. You know, if they're dead, they're in red, but some people are in blue because we can't prove that they aren't dead. You know? We can't prove that they are either.
They could just kill these people. It's okay. Right now, let's get rid of all the ambiguity. Let's call them dead.
Start setting the herd. Before?
Yeah. Just let's throw somebody in the herd.
You know, they need to give them a reason to not just hang out in Alexandria and Hilltop and build it all back, because we know that someone's going to New York.
I mean, that'd be fine, though. Like, part of me wants the conflict and wants the, like, forward motion and the destruction. But part of me just wants to, like, let's leave some people here and we'll make them happy and we'll just, like, Negan and Maggie can go off and do something else. They'll just be like, okay, we're leaving you here. Y'all are fine. We'll take some red shirts and we'll go to New York. Redshirts can die.
Yeah, and I'm fine, but it makes sense for Negan to do that. Right now, it doesn't really make sense for Maggie to do that.
Mm-mm.
So I need her reason not to do that.
Yeah.
And
I hope it's not. We're not killing Herschel, are we?
I would hope that's not the case. But, you know, we don't know where any of the kids are. We haven't seen any of the kids for quite some time now. So
if they drop them off at Padre, I'm going to be so upset.
Oh, my God. No. where was Maggie in this episode?
She was not in this episode.
Not in?
No, but
you're not appearing in this film.
Yeah, but is she accounted for? Is she just like, yeah, all this is going on and there's no Maggie?
Yeah, there's no Maggie. We don't, like I said, they were supposed to round everybody up. It doesn't make sense that we didn't see everybody, at least in a pimp walk, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. And I get it. You're only shooting with a limited number of people each week, but you needed the pimp walk for everybody.
I mean, they're going to pimp walk them all eventually, but there's only three cops left because everybody else died in the zombie attack.
Oh, but there's still 16 of them sitting there when Eugene turns himself in. So
yeah, like, what are you guys doing? Why are you sitting around the precinct eating donuts when you could be out rounding people up?
I mean, there were a lot of cops in that opening scene when they kind of revisited the death of Sebastian. Like, you, I saw you, the one who killed Sebastian. Boo.
Yeah. Getting stoned in the square. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah, it's weird to not have Maggie in this episode, especially when we know we're chess piecing, right, for the Maggie Negan thing. Because I'm starting to wonder, is it just Maggie and Negan that we're getting in the next iteration? Or is there any world where we bring somebody with us? Is it Maggie, Negan, and Jerry? You know, like, is it Maggie, Negan, and Princess? You know it's Maggie, Negan, but have we confirmed or solidified the fact that there would not be anybody else as Maggie, Negan, in the red shirts? Because we could definitely have Maggie, Negan, Ezekiel. You know, like, there's nothing to say that we couldn't. Right. So I would like to see more of Maggie in these episodes, considering we know that she's going to be a title character moving forward.
Anything that gives me more Princess on my screen, I'm all in favor of. Because, like, there's just something about that character that just pops, even if it's not written superbly well. And I didn't love her necessarily, her story and history and everything. It was like, all right, I don't need this right now. But I mean, she acted the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even her pimp walk, I was just like, yes, give me AOC goodness there with your hands behind your back when you're not being cuffed. Yes, go, Paolo, go. So I love her. Like, she pops. And I sometimes you catch that lightning in the bottle with a casting of the right person for the right character. And from moment one with her, we've loved Princess.
Yeah, like, one of my favorite comic characters for sure.
And she's nailed it. She's totally nailed it. Like, I feel more for her than I do with some of these characters who've been around for like over a decade. And that's a testament to the character, but also to the actress.
Yeah. I mean, like, even I feel like I know Princess better than I know Rosita.
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
100%. Princess has been gone for half of this second half of the season. I mean, like, we've only seen her once or twice at this point, this part of the final seasons, final episodes. And you feel it when she's gone, you know, it's kind of like, where's that energy? Where's with Rosita?
It's like, anytime Princess is not on screen, the viewers should be going, where's Princess?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Rosita's on screen a lot of times. And we're just like, oh, okay. I liked Rosita in this episode. I will say that.
She was good.
Yeah,
she's never not good.
Mm-hmm. It's just they don't give her anything to do. But here, she not only her character being there made sense in terms of the plot, but it also, again, it was one of these scenes of emotional closures. Like, yes, remember, I came into this show with Eugene. I should be here towards the end because Eugene's still here. You know, Abraham's not around, but we both have a history, so let's talk about it.
Hey, Eugene, remember when you used to watch me bang?
remember when my kid had four fathers and you were one of them? You know, we're all living together in the same house. That was fun too. Yeah, you need stuff like that, and it really worked for me. You know, like I said, this is two straight weeks now where Lydia has had speeches about Henry, and like, again, didn't like Henry, hated that whole storyline.
But glad he's dead.
But if you're going to keep Lydia on the show, Lydia's going to remember it. Of course it's important to her. So her bringing it up, I have no problem with. Anyone else bringing it up, it's like, really, dude?
Yeah, and I feel it's the same thing with Aaron bringing up Eric. Like, yes, hey, remember Aaron used to have a husband.
That was a great scene. I love that. I'm still I have a kid who we never mentioned, but you know, she's locked up in with RJ somewhere, but you know, I'm not gonna worry about that.
I'm so invested on what's gonna happen to these children. Y'all do not understand. I really want to know who's raising all these children, because you keep calling the Maggie Negan show. Nobody has mentioned these other kids. Nobody has mentioned Maggie's children. Is she raising her kids with Negan as the stepdad? I need to know this. I need to know what's going to happen with Lil Ass Kicker. I love seeing Judith back out here shooting the gun. Is she going to be in the Daryl show? You know, like I need to know who's babysitting the kids. It means so much to me. It means more to me than most of the storylines on this show.
Except RJ, because RJ is basically furniture.
Yeah, he doesn't matter. He doesn't matter at all. They don't care about RJ, so why should I? Yeah.
He's made of pure fan service, and he doesn't do anything.
He just, like, stares at people.
No argument from me here.
He's personal Henry.
Oh, no.
And now Rishon Twitter is going to issue a fatwa against me.
They're coming against us.
Look, if they wanna do a Rishon show and age him up 10 years, then I'm all for it, but not at this age with this actor
who
has nothing to do.
Rishon, 15-year-old RJ, and 20-year-old Judith, and they're all like a family out there, like killing zombies and saving lives and fighting for truth and justice. That's amazing. I would watch that.
Yeah, they're like, turn that into like a Highway to Heaven, Incredible Hulk type show.
Yes,
where like
yes.
Every week, every stop I make a new friend. It's the littlest hobo.
Wow, that's a deep pull, AJ. Yeah, I've been campaigning for a Highway to Heaven style Walking Dead spinoff pretty much since they teased it and didn't do it in Fear in like season 4, and I still maintain like some kind of like quasi procedural meet a new person every week situation would be very watchable. And they've even demonstrated with Tales that they can do like each episode is self-contained and you don't necessarily have to see them in order.
Exactly. Exactly. That works for me.
Yeah.
What if in our new iteration where we have the Rishon and family, we have RJ who has this vendetta against Negan. He's still hunting him. He wants to find him. Like maybe we get our crossover event there. Maggie and Negan are a little bit older. He's still out. They're still doing their thing. But now they have to deal with vigilante RJ who wants revenge because Negan basically killed Bildum. You know, he's like, when you grow up, if you got to, you know, if you really want to come after me, you can come find me, kid. Like, go find him. Let's do it. Why not? I mean, if we're leaving these pieces out here, I want them to interact at least a little bit.
The RJ Herschel buddy cop road trip of it all. Yes. They're going to settle a score.
Yes. Herschel, RJ, Judith. And Judith is like, she's torn because she doesn't want anything to happen to Negan, low key. She's like, I don't know about this. You know, that's literally her stepdad. But RJ and Herschel have bonded. You know, I could write this. I promise. Just give me a crayon and a piece of manila paper and I got it. Because I still want the pieces to matter. Yeah, I don't know. I'll take that to my Walking Dead grave. It's just like, you gave me all of these characters, some very compelling, some less, but you gave them to me and now I want you to do stuff with them. And it would be nice if you did something with them.
Yeah. I want to put Princess in the Daryl show because I feel like that would just drive Daryl crazy.
Someone has to talk.
Yeah.
For God's sake. Someone has to speak.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot watch a silent movie that is
Connie cannot go with Daryl. Yeah.
Connie,
as much as we want that relationship to work out, you cannot have a show with Daryl and Connie.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It would just be snarling.
Unless you did something experimental where like, you know, it's just silent every week.
Yeah. Like if that was the hook, if it was just like them signing to each other, like I think we are ready for an entire ASL series.
Absolutely. I would watch that from just, you know, personally, it would be enjoyable to see the acting that's actually going on, but
yeah.
In real world, you can't do that.
No,
not right now.
No, and also I feel like Daryl's probably as loquacious in ASL as he is in English.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of fists, you know. You know, there was actually a Walking Dead episode named Coda, you know, coincidentally in season 5. So you know, the groundwork has been laid. Let's do Coda 2. You know.
Yep, Walking Dead Coda.
Hmm.
I mean, what other characters do we need to see? Like, who are we going to pluck out of this universe and put into one of these spinoff shows?
We don't need Yumiko, do we? I mean, do
we? No.
No. No. No. This is where she's supposed to be left. She's a lawyer.
Yeah. Let her run the Commonwealth. Like, let's just give that to her. She's got some experience with the law. Like, make her the president of the Commonwealth and then never go back to the Commonwealth again.
I'm for that.
Yeah.
For that, she'll have her brother with her.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get killed somehow in the last few episodes.
So but he's not dead.
Not yet.
Have we seen him?
He's at the hospital. Hospital's a pretty safe place.
He's at a hospital because he can't do what he really wants to do anymore, and that's bake.
He can't be. Yeah. He can't bake. Dear God, just let the kid bake.
Yeah, let him make his cakes.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to stay here and give Hollywood handshakes to everybody.
Now say it in Spanish, AJ.
I'm I'm going to pass on that one.
Yikes. Big yikes.
Don't want you digging through my history of sitcoms appearances. And of course, as we've said ever since we had that little 10C episode there, to have Gabriel and Aaron together for a little adventure show would be wonderful. And if they can't get one of their own, then please just put them in one of these other ones. And have them tag team together, because that was just freaking delightful.
It was magical.
And then they reprised it in the building, and that worked. Yeah. That worked too.
Wasn't I saying that was like the best episode of the entire series?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, they've got something there. Like, those two actors, they have some chemistry. We could do something with that, even if they're like supporting cast on one of these spinoffs. Like, they don't even have to be every week on those spinoffs. They could be, you know, every so often. Like, they run the store where Maggie and Negan come back for supplies.
There you go.
They run a bar.
They run a bar which has a confessional in the back.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, Eucharist and some suds to wash them down.
Totally. Totally. You know, Aaron mixing the drinks. He's got a cocktail shaker attachment for his spiky ball hand.
No!
I liked the spiky ball hand coming out this week. Happy to see that in action.
Yeah.
He
gave him the quick spiky ball hand and he beat that guy into the, like, you know, his head in. And he had to, because the walker is now picking up rocks to use as a attack, like a weapon. Yeah.
Because he starts fighting it like a person.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he's like, wait, you're still acting like a zombie. You should have flinched when I hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so then he spiky ball hands him.
And again, it's they don't forget. I mean, sort of this much more recent history, but like, to immediately assume it's a whisperer makes sense. So like that follows. That tracks. Perfect. Like, don't give them all total amnesia. But, you know, like, again. Oh yeah, remember that time in season one when there was that one extra who like did jumping jacks and we forgot to tell him to stop and it made it to the edit and we didn't really notice until this fan on Reddit saw it. Well, why don't we have a variant of walkers who does jumping jacks? Like, it feels like that sometimes.
Yeah, like it's very Return of Morales.
Yes, because of all the characters from season one that I was demanding to know what happened to them, Morales was the answer.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else we need to get into before we, you know, send this one up the ladder?
Yeah, I see what you did there. I think they tried in this one to, at least for me, show that Pamela is at least somewhat deserving of being the final boss for this season, because that was pretty cruel what she did with our buddy, and you know, the way she turned on a dime when her son turned, also I thought that was kind of cool too. It was like, okay, they can make this actress can handle it. Just now, let's write her as the big bad the rest of the way, and I'll go with you, because you know I didn't think Hornsby was it, and I don't think they knew. Sometimes I feel like they're up to this episode and they still don't know who's the big bad for this.
Is it Hornsby? Is it Dark Pamela? We don't know.
Yeah, but at least you know, they gave her some meat there for me to like, okay, maybe she is the final boss.
I think it's Hornsby. I think Hornsby's still the final boss. I think he has to overcome this Pamela thing. Like, he's like, you strike him down, he comes back, you know, more powerful than ever. I think it's really going to be that, you know, like, he's got to take her out of the game. And then they're like, oh, this Hornsby guy is not playing. You know, I think they're coming for him last.
It's just with this few episodes left, I don't need this to feel like it's primary season. And like, we'll decide between ourselves which member of this party is going to be final boss, whether it's Hornsby or Pamela. And, you know, then we'll send them out to the general election for you to kill them. Like, Can you figure this out earlier, please?
Who's getting the final rose?
Yeah, exactly.
I should have an inkling at this point. I shouldn't feel like it could go either way.
Right. It shouldn't be someone with a purple edit.
Right. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think they at least they know who their characters are, even if they don't always know where they're going to send them next. So I'm looking forward to next week. Hopefully we continue this trend of everybody acknowledging their own history and behaving the way human characters would behave.
Yes.
More of this, please.
Yes. I mean, like I said, one in a row. Let's keep it going.
Yep. Let's keep the streak alive. All right. So AJ Mass, what else are you up to this week?
I am up to my neck in trouble is what I know. I'm doing fine. Polonius Pundit still going strong. You can check me and Kentai's Fence Guard out on that podcast. And other than that, I'm just looking forward to next week's episode here. So, yeah, keep the ball rolling on that one.
Good stuff. Chappelle, what's up? What's up with you?
I'm on Post Show Recaps talking about Atlanta, on Post Show Recaps talking about Abbott Elementary, on Silent Podcast talking about Never Have I Ever, and on Rob Has a Podcast talking about Netflix shows on Nothing But Netflix. So follow me on Twitter to keep up with all of that.
Yeah, good stuff. And of course, this week I will be joined by Josh Wigler, who ditched us tonight, joining me early next week to get the Mole Patrol back together. So Josh Wigler, Brooklyn Zed, and I are now joined by Rob Sesternino to talk about the Netflix reboot of The Mole. And we are having a great time with it. One of my favorite things happened, which was Rob found a character to hate. And when Rob has a character that he has a personal vendetta against, I think, you know, we look back on things like Ollie or Henry, and there's a worthy successor on The Mole, apparently. So for all of that, you can go over to robswebsite.com and check us out on, I believe it's the wrap-ups feed. You can find Mole Patrol, and we're happy to follow along with that with you. I'm getting more feedback on that than like every other show I cover combined. And then we also are covering The Amazing Race. Rob Sesternino and Mike Bloom and I every week talking about everybody that got kicked off Amazing Race, and Rob and I do exit interviews there. So that's all on robswebsite.com as well. And I'm sure Josh Wigler has a bunch of stuff, but you don't get to know what it is because he ditched us this week. But you can follow us all on Twitter at HaymakerHattie, at Chappelle's_show, at AJMass, and at Round Howard. We love to hear from you about Walking Dead things and tell us where you think it's going to go next. Who's the big bad? Who's going to die? Who's going to wind up as like the B team on the spinoffs? We want to hear all your speculation on all that. And please, I know we're still talking all things Walking Dead for a few more episodes, and then I'm sure we're going to go right to spinoff land. So continue to subscribe to us, the podcatcher of your choice. We have a Walking Dead only feed in addition to the Post Show Recaps global feed. Either place you want to go and leave us a review, we'd love to hear from you there. So I think that brings us to the end of the program. Also, Patreon. We have a Patreon, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon. Support us there for extra perks like access to a Discord, merch, extra podcasts, many cool perks. And at the $10 level, you go into the Discord and you can make all kinds of friends and find yourself having long conversations about Brant Steele. And we're about to kick off our Heroes versus Villains season, and it's going to be lit. So check all that out. We would love to have you there. And of course, that helps us keep the lights on. So I think that brings us home. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.